Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's start with Genesis 3 and 14. Let's see why Christmas had to come into existence. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Next part of scripture. And I'll put what? Between you and the woman, and between your seed and her, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, he shall what? Now, if you look at this part of scripture, there's something interesting here. What can you see in the second to the last line? Can you catch the revelation there? Let me remove 1,000 there. Who will say what is in my mind? Okay. Okay, now after service, come and collect. This woman have chopped my money. Oh. She just said it exactly the way I wanted to say it. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. I know. I think I will make it 2,000. That's so powerful. Amen. She said it exactly. I wanted to say, firstly, the he is what? In capital. How many of you saw it like that? Choir can lie. The he is in capital letter. And that he should be who? Christ Jesus. He shall bruise your head. He shall bruise your head. And even if I've not done some studies on you shall bruise his heel, I'm sure it should have a connection with how that Satan frontiered the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus through Judas and the Pharisees and etc. Are we together? All right, but I'll just stop there till I can come and tell you more deeply and more correctly. I'm sure it has a connection with that. He said, but he shall, the emphasis, he shall bruise your head. The head in the Bible here simply represents authority. He will take your authority. He will destroy you. Because you see, what happened in the fall was that Adam, you know, he didn't understand his authority. And a lot of times I don't like to tell you that Adam fell from grace or fell from the glory, because it is wrong. Are we together? You can't fall from the glory. Now, Adam did not lose the glory. Or maybe I should say Adam did not lose the glory directly, but indirectly. I mean, it's better to even say Adam did not lose the glory. Just leave it like that. He didn't. Because he said, no one who knows me can continue in his sin. It's a formula. It's that if you know me, you cannot continue in your sin. So Adam did not know God. That's interesting, isn't it? Adam did not know God. Because God cannot lie. Alright, so let's read. Okay, media, help us again. Let's read the one to read. Whoever abides in him, whoever what? Has neither what? Nor what? You know, some of these are guys who say it is not in the original. Some people who believe humanity cannot live above sin. They tell us these words are not in the original. It is in the original. And I wonder which word will they want to use there to, you know, bring out any new revelation. This is in the original. Are we together? It's not ambiguous at all. It says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither what? Seen him, nor what? Known him. That means the litmus test that you truly know God is that you don't sin. You don't sin. So if Adam sinned, if he disobeyed God, he never knew God. And someone is wondering, but how? Isn't it? Because the Bible said in the cool of the day, God will come and communicate with him, you know, the way Moses wrote it. He saw it through a vision, the way he wrote it. He said in the cool of the day, God will come and they'll commune. And I mean, somebody who was having that privilege should know God. No, he didn't. The Bible said God created man in his image and likeness in the realm of the spirit. That's Genesis 1:26. And gave man, you know, that was more like God painting the vision. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let him have dominion. If you listen to those words, it doesn't mean that the man has actually found expression in the physical world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's like, let us, we're discussing now, let us make man in our image and likeness. Doesn't mean the man is existing yet. It's more like painting a vision. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? It's like, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Let this kind of man, let this quality of man have dominion over the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, and over all the earth. So it's more like God painting a vision of what he wants about humanity. But in Genesis 2, I think from verse 3 down to 7, the Bible said, and God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living entity, a living soul. So that the vision of God in Genesis 1 now will find full expression in this man. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So God created an environment that will culture man into what he wanted man to be like in Genesis 1:26. That's what Moses was trying to explain. And Moses explained the environment, the culture, in terms of the tree of life and another tree that represented the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. That as man will eat from the tree of life, like we're eating the world right now. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Man will get transformed. Man will get to, you know, finally get to understand who he is in the heart of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Am I confusing you? God's ways do not change. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
alright? You are born again. From the day you are born again, everything about your identity is not revealed. But it's in your DNA. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But as you walk with the Holy Spirit, he reveals the real you. Like Colossians 3:2 will say in the Amplified Rendition. Alright? Let's read it together. In the Amplified Rendition, Colossians 3:3. For you die to this world, and what? Your new, and this new life that it seems like to the physical mind is what? The real life. Your new real life is hidden with Christ and God. You see that? So the Holy Spirit begins to reveal the real you. You know, it sounds new, but it's the real you that was supposed to be from the beginning. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So what God was doing with Adam through the tree of life was that as Adam would eat from the tree of life, same formula, Adam will be realizing the real him in the heart of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And, you know, if you look at the formula of how growth should happen, like Paul told us, you know, scripture must explain what? Scripture. Isn't it? Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5 and 12, it says, for though by this time you ought to, now Paul was disappointed that they were not matured yet, even though they had stayed a long time with him. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers because of the time you have had to learn this truth, alright, you actually need someone. You know, sometimes pastors will get disappointed like this. You train people, you expect them to be doing well, and you are not disappointed. Paul was in that situation. He said, you actually need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of God's word from the beginning. And you have come to be continually in need of what? And not what? Solid food. Next part of scripture. It then says, for everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally what? Inexperienced. And what? Unskilled. In the word of righteousness. Since he is a spiritual word, infant. Next part of scripture. He then said, but solid food is for the spiritually mature. Whose senses are what? Trained. By what? Practice to distinguish between what? Alright, so you see, solid food. Let's see the tail of verse 13. The tail. Just put it up, everything. All right? For everyone who lives on meek is doctrinally what? Inexperienced and unskilled in the word of what? Righteousness, since he is a spiritual infant. Now, hold on. See something here. If you read the next part of scripture, he said, but solid food. Now, he said, but solid food is for the spiritually mature. Now, go back. It's more like comparing two things, living on milk and living on solid food. Okay, is it really solid food? If you were here, you wouldn't have called it solid food. You would have substituted it with something yet. What? Word of righteousness. Are you seeing it? Unskilled in the word of what? Righteousness. Since it's spiritually infant. So if you are spiritually mature, you should be skilled in the word of righteousness. And now Paul in the next part of scripture will substitute word of righteousness to what? Solid food. So can we now agree that we can substitute both of them for each other? Alright, so, but I can now substitute. But words of righteousness is for the spiritually mature. Are you guys now getting what I'm trying to say? Instead of saying solid food. And anyone goes, since you are understanding. Whose senses are what? Trained by practice. What are they using to practice? Word of what? Righteousness. Or what? Solid food. That's the material for the practice, isn't it? Whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil? And I told you before, just to add, that you can never grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing, but faith does not grow by hearing. Faith grows by use. If you don't use the word of God, it is by the reason, how did the Bible said it here? It said, by practice, in the NKJV, let's see it in the NKJV. I like the words in the NKJV. It says, those who by reason of use, see that now, have their senses what? Exercise to discern both good and evil. It is by reason of use that faith grows. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? If you are a prophet, you will understand this more. And every child of God has the ability to hear God. If you don't practice hearing God, all right? If you hear God, whatever you think you've heard from God, because sometimes we think it's our mind, and sometimes truly it's our mind. Some people can hear their minds and not God. It's very, very possible. All right? Like, I heard a prophet who said he was caught up in the realm of the spirit, and he saw, God showed him his mansion, and it was very big. It was a very big mansion. And he's a respected man of God. Now, no, I'm not trying to hate or anything, but that's wrong. But did he really see? He saw in the cloud of his mind created. Because you see, communication in the realm of the spirit is done via light. If the light in your soul is not truly the supposed light, or not actually much, let me put it like that. When God speaks to you, he speaks light. You interpret it by the wrong data. If the data is not right, you interpret it via the wrong data in your soul. It's just like database. How many of you do database? You clean data, isn't it? So if you don't truly understand, if the information in your heart is wrong, when the light comes, the way you interpret it becomes wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Did God speak to people that have started deliverance ministries? God encountered them at the beginning. They truly had a special encounter. And when they saw God move in that dimension, they just understood everything from that perspective of what they encountered. And you cannot subject God to an experience. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he said, I've set my word far above my names. Names, no, God did not give himself any name. The only name he called himself in the book of Revelation was the word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? His word, his whole counsel, are we together? But it is men that give God name. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When they encounter God, they call him Rapha. They call him this. They call him that, according to what he did for them. So you can't subject God to a particular experience that you had with him. No wonder Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, when I came to you, I did not withhold declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if you don't have sufficient light in your soul, when God speaks to you, sufficient or right light, let me put it like that. Because sometimes you can have assumptions, and it is even worse than darkness in itself. The Bible says, if the light in you be what? It said the darkness is even greater than actual darkness. Are we together? So if you don't have sufficient light or right light, You'll be interpreting a lot of rubbish in the realm of the spirit when God speaks to you. Now, take for instance that man of God now. What he understood in John 14 was actually physical mansion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what he understood. You know, we've done that teaching before. Because Jesus said to us, he said while he was on the earth, in if you see it in the synoptic, is it Matthew 11, 11 or 10, 10? I've forgotten that part of scripture. It says, seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood. So I had to speak to them in what? In what? Parables. And I told you all, you remember parables, right? While we're growing up in CRS. You know, I was looking at my younger brother's this thing, and he was not going to do CRS. So I said, why not doing CRS? You know, he doesn't want to write it in work. I said, are you mad? How can you go to secondary school as a Christian and don't do CRS? Is it taboo? Are you people doing that too? Somebody will say, I don't want to write CRS in work. Okay, it's like this thing is general. In secondary school. They don't write CRS in work. Did I write? I think I wrote CRS in work. Okay, they now stopped it. Which, you know, when I finished school. Did we do CRS in work? I can't remember. No, you, I understand. You came behind. So. I'm talking about people in my time. Senior work, you did. You did, Ba. Friday, you did. Ben, you did. At least these people are in my time, that time, the barracks. Yes, I think we're supposed to. You guys that did school just not so long will not understand this. Hallelujah to Jesus. You did. You want to make sure you are in my time. Hallelujah to Jesus. You guys did not do. Amen. You can't even do it. Look at how young you people look. Like they gave birth to you yesterday. It's not possible for you to have done it. You did? You did. Okay, that's impressive. You're an accident. Oh. That man did not do serious in his work. You. You did? You did not do. Okay. Monday did not do, right? When did he finish school? 2018, 2019, 2021? Hallelujah. So I was telling him, why will you not do CRS? He was telling me that he doesn't. I said, okay, do it. If you don't want to write it, just be attending the class, be hearing word of God. I said, how can you be in secondary school and you're not doing CRS? They allow this generation just have plenty choice to, you know. I remember I heard one time they said they are not doing biology for our students. I thought we used to do biology. How can you not know, have an idea of your human body? They now say they replace it with civic education. What is that? What is it about? The story of what? Huh? I was so shocked that they replaced biology with civic education. And there's a subject I think everybody should be doing in second, integrated science. They say they stopped that one too. Yes, they should be doing it. So that you have an idea of a lot of things. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, so you see, I was just wondering. I told him, you had to do it. You have to do it. I'm just realizing that maybe that's why he's not doing it. Amen? But I was shocked. So if the information on your inside is wrong, your interpretation of a lot of things will be wrong. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? The way you hear God self will be wrong. We have seen people as pastors that when they told us they heard God, we are just looking at them. Because you are careful. Being quiet as a pastor, if you have grown in this thing, being quiet is still part of strategy. Because if you talk all of a sudden, you won't allow Satan finish what he has started. I say, sir, God told me that lady is my wife. We'll just be quiet. We don't want to say anything. Because if we say that's not your wife, you may leave church. You may be disappointed in us and say, God told me something, prophet, refuse it. I'm leaving, I'm angry. I must marry her or I go. So like, Let's leave him. Let's leave him. He will realize. So sometimes we say, go and pray. Or sometimes we say, just be friends. Don't worry. Keep on being friends. Don't ask out. We are not saying you will not marry out. Just be a friend. Then one day you just hit your head on the iron. Boom! Sister, when I came to you, the way you gave me an answer was not straight. Sir, can you just tell me what is in your heart? Sir, no, there was nothing. Sir, I suspect there's something in your heart. Sir, what do you think about that lady? No, go ahead. Go, just be friends. Sir, I'm seeing some things that I don't understand, though. Hallelujah to Jesus. I've seen this. Sometimes the situation plays out and you just know this woman is not your wife. Not because she's bad. And for us in church, I can't hate either of you. If two of my spiritual children want to be in a relationship, if you will break up, do you know I'll still be friends to both of you? There's nobody that will be my enemy. Say, sir, she's the one that's the problem, sir. She's a wicked. I said, stop that. You're calling my daughter a wicked girl. Sir, he's a very wicked one. Shh, don't call my son a wicked man. I love two of you. Just break up and be in church, okay? None of you can be my enemy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Life keeps on going on. Because I knew that, the boldness sometimes. You know, one time I was talking to my friend. He said, the way to hear God easy for this generation. It shock us as if maybe this Christianity will do well when they grow up. He said, you just see somebody just stand up. Sir, God told me. And if you look at the person, it doesn't look like somebody that God can even tell. No, I'm not trying to speak condemnation. It's true. Someone came to me years ago. He said, sir, God said, that's my wife. I said, why? He said, I am in business. She's in business. We'll build a business kingdom. You call one big name. Kingdom, business, waiting. Global, economic kingdom, waiting. I looked at him. I said to him, there's no witness in my spirit that's your wife. You know, I have to be real with him because that woman that I saw, and that's why sometimes men of God are scared of women that head ministries. Sometimes, it's not because they are bad people. You know, if we say this thing in the public, some people will even be misunderstanding us. I've encountered one or two women that head ministries. I've seen nice ones, but I've seen more arrogant ones. More arrogant. There was one I was talking to. When she replied to somebody that was close to me, I started smiling. You know, I started smiling because I said, I will not be in this problem. Me, I just apologize. I say, don't worry. Don't mind my brother. Sometimes you are actually right. He was correcting her. She now used scripture and explained that his correction was useless. She was using the Bible to explain that. He said to her, is this how you talk to everybody? She now said to him that, why will you feel bad that they even talk to you like that? According to John 5, she started explaining how that if they talk to you wrongly, you should not feel bad. Else you are not truly, you don't understand self-worth. I was just speaking. It's like, my God. She now broke that. Jesus said that John the Baptist came and John the Baptist came and witnessed about him, but he actually didn't need John the Baptist's witness. He actually preferred God's witness. So if we talk bad at you, what if we didn't even reply you? You should not feel bad. I think you have a problem with yourself. What? They are correcting somebody. Somebody's not correcting. He looked at me. And I told her, oh, we're sorry. As I held his hand, I said, see, you can't end this battle. Did you see how she's... At the end, she now said, if you like, hear me or don't hear me, it's your own cup of tea. I said, now, well, a woman is always a woman. Let's go, brother. We left. But they are very wonderful ones. I'm not trying to castigate all of them. They are very wonderful ones. Are we together? And I told him that particular lady, because I know the lady very well, I said, you can't get into a relationship with her and survive. See the way you are like a lamb. They will slaughter you. I said, you can't. He said, sir, God told me. I said, okay, go and pray. So, because he respects me, he went to pray again. When he said he was done praying, I was scared of his answer. I said, go for a 3 days fast. He still respected me. I went for a trip. I started praying. I said, God, please open his eye clear. Then the problem happened with their pastor. They called the lady. The lady answered the pastor anyway. He was there. When she answered the pastor, he was shocked. He said the scale in his eye just fell down to the ground. And he called me immediately after the meeting. He said, "That one, sir, even my pastor cannot marry that girl. Her grace passed my own." I started laughing. That's how he was saved. He wants to get married soon. Now, I used to laugh because see the authority, the boldness. When he came to me, he said, "Sir, the Holy Spirit told me my mind was not there. The Holy Spirit forced me. That's what pained me." He said the Holy Spirit forced him. Holy Spirit that is happy when you don't marry. You don't know. If I agreed with the Holy Ghost that I want to be like Paul, he will be very happy. He will make sure Mama T is far from me. Because he likes it when he must. I want to. I say Holy Ghost doesn't force people. If you are a sister, you say, "God, I don't want to marry." He will be like, "Oh, my baby." Just that for most of you, I don't agree. Get married. Are we together? But the Holy Ghost does not have a problem with that. And the Holy Ghost in his character is gentle. He is meek. He will not force you. The character of God is gentle. He's a gentleman. He will not force you. So I said, "You are wrong." The boldness, what was really touched me. See, the Holy Spirit forced me. I was on my own. And you know, be very careful of people that when they want to say something, they'll be looking for things to say to make sure they don't look like they are victims of what they want to say. I don't really, but the Holy Spirit, I don't really, If you really want to say the truth, just say it. Leave the Holy Spirit to bear witness with what you have said. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Rice is not really my tino, but the Holy Spirit said I should eat rice. If I can't remember the last time I ate rice. Is it why you are going through those stress in your mind to prove yourself? Because you truly don't have boldness that the Holy Ghost spoke to you. Alright, so I was trying to point out that some people even started ministry. This deliverance ministry, you see. That is why if you truly are rich in God's word, you will not be very quick to insulting people yet. I heard a preacher years ago, he said, when you are teaching the truth and somebody is ignorant and thinking he understands, he said, you that is teaching the truth, know that you are doing a rescue mission. You are in an act to rescue a brother. If you see it like that, you'll be doing so much good to the body of Christ and harm. If you have truth and you are not teaching from the perspective to help people, from the point, you know, the mindset of helping people, rather than to push them down and to make them feel small because of the truth you have, then the truth you have is not even complete truth. It is incomplete truth. Are we together? Because the Bible said it is not enough to have truth. The proof that you have truth, verse 15 of Ephesians 4, is that you teach it with or in love. And love is kind. Love is what? Patient. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Love keep no record of what? Wrong. And etc. It's not easily angered. So you are teaching truth, and any smart you call people names. That's not truth. Truth, you can't teach the truth of God's word and call somebody useless, call somebody idiot, call somebody a thief. You know, when I see it, I wonder. I really wonder. A lot of people who are rebels will like that kind of preacher. You want to preach the word of God, you say, all these small boys thinking they are men of God. You see. Your heart is getting revealed. That's not complete truth. Because there's no love there. That you are teaching truth does not mean you should disrespect people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Except you are trying to build your own empire. If it's the kingdom of God you are trying to advance, you will not insult anybody. Are you listening to me? One time I was listening to a preacher. I will never forget. I told my wife, a man of God who was doing something wrong came out publicly. Not like he was womanizing and the rest. It was an act. There was a way he was teaching the gospel with money, you know, these money things. And he said, one time he said he discovered that was wrong. And he was apologizing that was wrong. Because he thought it was right. And another man of God stood up and said, all those fake cry, all those crocodile tears. I said, Jesus Christ. Firstly, that the person, let me even explain something to you people. You see, it's not Abraham's fault that he was born in his time. It was not Moses' fault that he was born in his time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think that because you now know Christ. Alright? You know, I had one preacher one time, he was saying, Moses, all those, they are Moses. Who are Moses? You know, listen, all right? Compared to Moses and the rest of them, we have Christ. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And because we have Christ, we are greater. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But in the kingdom now, if the kingdom reign comes, God will not say because we know Christ and Moses in his time was not privileged to know Christ. Moses sits here before Pastor Simon's feet is a lie. Because in the kingdom, everybody will see Christ. All right? And your reward will not be based on, okay, Prophet, Pastor Simon knows Christ. It's about the earth. If Moses was still on the earth right now, he would know Christ. He was not privileged to know Christ because in his time, Christ was not what? Revealed. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes, yeah, so we today, because we know Christ, we are greater than Moses when he was on the earth. But that doesn't equate to we insulting. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Thinking they are small people and the rest. No, they are not. It's just that Christ was not, they were not privileged to have Christ revealed in their time. Now, let me bring this to our time. When somebody truly does not know, what would the person do? Are you people get what I'm trying to say? What would they truly do? There's a difference between a false prophet and a false teacher. A false teacher does not know something. He doesn't know, and probably because of his ignorance, he's saying something wrong. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Alright? But he's not a false prophet because in his heart, he doesn't want to lead God's people astray. He doesn't want to steal. You have not heard him in any act of adultery. Nobody has accused him of this. He really stands for God. But what he's communicating, some of them are not right. That's not a false prophet. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So no matter what the person says that is not right, we will not consume what is wrong. No. Will not consume it. Are your fathers not wonderful people, all of you? Huh? Your father knows mass, all the mass in this world. What if your father, because of how nice he is, tells you that 1 + 1 = 11? How many of you put it in an exam? Daddy is so nice, he can't be wrong. 1 + 1 = 11. I'll feel for daddy. How many of you do that? How many of you with your nice fathers and mothers have done assignment for you that you failed before? Don't be pretending. Like when your teacher asks who did the assignment, even you didn't know what to say. Says, don't worry, sir, just leave it. I'm the one that did it. Then you go back home, mommy or daddy. You mean you did this thing and I failed? But you told me you were carrying first in the class. The point is this. They love you so much. They are wonderful people, but they got it wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's it with preaching. Doesn't mean they should be insulted and etc. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So that you learn to, you know, live a life worthy of the Holy Spirit using you at any time, at any point. When you are proud, the Holy Ghost cannot use you. You resist him. We see somebody talking like that, who are fathers of faith, because of the revelation you have. No revelation should make you say, who are the fathers of, who are so-called fathers of faith, because of revelation. Then when you want to say we are greater, you don't think because you are greater now everybody is stupid that's gone ahead of you. No. And if an elder wants to listen to you, even Paul was teaching Timothy, he said, you don't raise your voice at an elder. Did you read in your Bible? He said, don't raise your voice. It's the way you talk to somebody who is ahead of you that will make them even believe what you are saying. I hope you know you cannot convince your parent by saying, according to the Bible, so daddy, are you understanding me now? Oh, daddy, so that means this church you are going to is wrong. What nonsense. How can they tell in that church that they wash your feet? Daddy, you are in an error, God forbid. Hey, daddy. The way we break it here and shout. You do there and shout glory, your daddy is looking at you. Are you mad? There's a way, there's a style the Holy Ghost can help you use. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you want to convince your parent, the first way is not even preaching. It is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle. The first thing that will make them listen to you is your lifestyle. Mommy is believing what is wrong. Daddy is believing what is wrong. Then you are still stealing meat in pots. You are still stealing. This Christmas, you have pocket like 3 meat in your pocket. And they saw your pocket swell up. And when they were calling you, you were running out. Or maybe you took some and ran to church this morning. You were eating on the road. You see that? Then later you now say, daddy, I want to break something. What you are doing in that church is wrong. And your dad is looking at this sinner. You know, those days, I was trying to explain to my father something. we were coming back from Ojo Barracks, so he entered one of the canteens to buy one drink like that is not holy drink. And when he bought the drink, and I said to him, "That you are embarrassing God, myself, and yourself." He just turned and looked at me. I said, "Are you not a catechist? Why will you be drinking such a drink?" And me, I'm a pastor. They will see my father buying such a drink. And God will not be excited. He said, "This is not alcohol. This is not serious alcohol. And it does not make anybody drunk. I will drink it in my house." And I said to him, "It's still wrong, even if you take it outside with your friends or in your house." He said, "Wait, oh, the way I'm talking, who can live above sin?" I said, "Everybody can live above sin. Everybody." I broke all the scriptures. And I said, "What of you? Are you living above sin?" That question was tricky. Because he knows the sins I've seen. And he has corrected most of the sins. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? So he wants to set me up. He said, "You, are you living above sin?" He said, "Let me hear your answer." I said, "We're once sinners. But Christ died for our sins. Now I'm repented. I live above sin." He said, you don't sin." I said, "Yes, sir. Right now." I was emphasizing right now. He started laughing. He said, "You, this boy, you don't sin. It's not you that the other time stole me to the pod." I just kept short. My mouth. The accuser of the brethren has prevailed. The first point is to live wonderfully at home. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you live so nicely, you know, your parents are wondering, what has happened to Monday? What has happened to Phil? What has happened to Sonny? What has happened to Peter? What has happened? What has happened? Why? Oh, he's so kind, so nice. See how he talks to his siblings. They carried his meat. There were two meats for him in the rice, and one of the sisters came and removed one of the meat, and Peter did not shout. Like, he was not like, what did this rubbish in this house? I can't take this thing. Why are people being like this? You are wicked. You are not Christians. Peter was like, "Who took my meat?" And when they said, "It's wrong, but the love of God covers a multitude of sins." You know, some of these people you see in church, they are lions at home. And the sister first is shocked. "Eh? Peter? Peter did not shout. Hey!" She now goes to tell, "I took Peter's meat. He did not insult me. He did not shout. He did not do anything wrong." Then the mother too wants to test him. The mother now put one meat instead of two. And put two for everybody. And Peter looks at the meat. He looks at everybody's meat. Say, "Mom, you put one meat for me." He said, "I just feel like you should eat one meat." "Okay, Mom, it's fine. No problem. Thank you." I know the thing sounds like, "Oh, it's some fairy tale." Or, "Mommy, what kind of wickedness? You are persecuting me. The Bible said we'll face persecution. My own have started from the house." You know, when they see those things, they are shocked. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are very shocked. My mother, that's my wife. She's tired of how my mother sing my praise in the house. They are all tired. When they just start, all of them will be looking at my mother. "Simon, we will never do this. He will never do that." Especially the last one, he has suffered, that young man. If he just do one mistake, they'll call him to the center. Your brother never did this in this house. Your brother, blah, blah, blah. They'll now call me to come and judge. What did he do? They said they sent him, he squeezed his face. Tell him, "Did you ever squeeze your face when we sent?" And we did not even send him during that time. When there was no water in the house. You know, now they have bowl. Those days, do you know where we used to go and fetch water? Now people will be in the house with children. There's bowl. They won't tell them to just go and fetch water from the tap. Tap! Or they'll say connect the pipe and put it in the... Or they'll say go and off the shower. It's leaking. It's like it's on. "Mommy, every time you're telling me to go on, to off shower. We that will trek and go and cross main road, double lane, fetch water, cross back, come to our block." We did not complain. If you do like that, if you talk, you know, I had the privilege to start talking to my parents, even about their marriage, at a very young age. A very, very young age. My dad would call me and they'll sit down, they would say the problem now, they'll tell me to church. At a very young age, I was very shocked. And of course, every time I want to start, my mom is eyeing me. And I'm wondering if she should win this time or she should win next time or blah, 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 blah. It was very difficult, but I had to just try. And of course, a lot of times my mom lost. Hallelujah to Jesus. I had the privilege. They will ask for my advice in a lot of things. When I just say no, I have that privilege. It's not the right. If I say no, this thing should not happen in that house. It does not happen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there's a way you begin to live before you start preaching the gospel. Are you listening to me? And they will listen to you. You want to tell your father to stop drinking. There's a way. You know, I was preaching to my landlord's child one time as we're talking and talking and talking. He was so blessed. You know, say, sir, my dad drinks alcohol. They wrote 5%. I mean, how many percent on it? Sir, should I tell him to stop? I said, the service is ended. Because that question is tricky. Should I tell him to stop? If I say yes, sir, I was talking to pastor today. Very young boy. Pastor said I should, alcohol is wrong. And she said I should tell you, I should have the boldness to say the truth. Daddy, stop alcohol. That landlord will come and knock my door later. I say, pastor, this problem you are causing in my home. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you all listening to me? So there's a way you communicate. Sometimes a lot of people have ego. Are you listening to me? When you come to them with the truth, don't shame them. Don't shame them. Don't make them to feel ashamed with your truth. If your truth makes people to feel ashamed of themselves, so how can you? Okay, is that, okay, let's take for instance, the person thinks they should kill a lamb in this 21st century. And you can say, you, after what Jesus has done, after Jesus finished everything, Jesus who is a lamb, that you don't know that Jesus is a lamb, and he offered himself, and you are killing a lamb. Ah, Momo! Some people don't have sense. The brother will look at you and say, for this thing, I will kill 3 lambs tomorrow. Because he's wondering, if God really sent this one, why will he be talking to me like this? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I always used to tell you this story. I said, in just years ago, there was this young man who I wanted to marry his sister. And she told me to come and see her brother, her elder brother, who is a pastor. And if we're to judge spiritually and the rest, he would have been the one to see me for us not going to marry his sister. But you see, because I wanted to marry his sister, I had to be humble. If not, I'll not marry, isn't it? I went to see him. When I went there and I still did not marry, you know, I wish I didn't even go. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, young man. He called me young man. I looked at him. He just sat down and he said, young man, welcome. I used my 2 hands. Thank you, sir. He said, you can sit. Welcome. He told her, you can sit over there. She sat over there. I said, how are you? Like a boss. I said, I'm fine. I'm fine. In my heart, I was like, if I take on this guy now. Smee is asking this question. He said, well, I heard you want to marry my sister. We don't joke in our family. Are you hearing me? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, so I'm here to interview you, to know the kind of person that you are, whether you're a genuine man of God or fake. I said, okay, sir, you can go ahead. So while we're talking, I saw some combination, T.D. Jakes, Kenyon. If you understand this, you'll be wondering how the hell did that combination happen. E.W. Kenyon and T.D. Jakes and Joseph Prince. So, they're not bad preachers, but if you have been reading very well, you know this combination is very impossible. It's closer for Kenyon and Joseph Prince, but I mean, with T.D. Jakes, it's almost impossible. Because of how he relates the scriptures with life and rest. If you read Kenyon and read T.D. Jakes, you'll get very confused. And I said to him, I said, you're mischief. How do you do it? He didn't even understand me because he had not read so much of the books. He said, what do you mean? I said, how comes you read this book and read this and read this? How are you able to understand what you are doing? He said, well, I just speak what I want in all of them. I said, oh, fine. I still just got it that he doesn't understand what I'm trying to say. And the lady now said, what of Prophet Kubus? He said, there Jesus, that's a false prophet. I just licked my lips. That was my role model, he called fake prophet. He now said, do you follow him? He was asking me. I said, no. She too, she was coded. She just said, okay. She wanted to see the movie. I said, no, I don't. I don't follow him. I don't. Is it the one in South Africa? He said, yeah. Okay. I think I've seen few of his teachings before. have seen. So why do you think it's fake? He said blah, 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 blah. So, amazing. I think I saw some of his clips and I saw this and that. Then I began to break the word of God for him. According to what I heard Prophet Kobo say, you know, why people misunderstand him, I went towards that direction. And as I was talking, it was 30 minutes yet. When I wanted to stop, he said, please, brother, can you continue? Nice, brother. As I kept on teaching, it was over 1 hour, some minute. He said, dear Jesus. I said, I have to stop now. We've taken over an hour. He said, dear Jesus, this is the gospel. He said, how can we start preaching this? For somebody who called somebody. I said, the truth is that I learned this from Prophet Coase. He said, you lied? I said, no, I didn't lie. I just wanted to hear you verse. He said, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry if I spoke so bad of Prophet Coase. But this is the gospel. He said, I want to know this. Can you always minister in my conference every year, please? I said, why not? We have a relationship. I'll come every year. He said, how can we preach this everywhere? I said, start it from your church. The kingdom of God can be likened to what? A mustard seed. It may be small, but it will spread and take over everywhere. Don't think that we're the only ones that understand the gospel, or a few people understand the gospel and it won't go far. Teach it. Are we together? Teach it. Keep on teaching it. And when I was done, about to go, look at how God humbled everything, made everything, because I did not shout, I did not make him feel, we did not argue. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I was just meek. The Lord told me years ago when he was helping me understand this light, he said, learn to be meek, son. Meaning when you know, just keep quiet like you don't know sometimes because of the situation. And I saw how that the guy became so humble at the end. He knelt down and said, pray for my church, sir. And when he knelt down, I looked at him, I was so touched. I stretched my hands in his auditorium and I spoke words and words and words, and we left. She was so shocked. She was so shocked. What really happened here? What really happened here? What happened? But my brother does not listen to anybody. I said, not the gospel. He said, if I be lifted up, if I be revealed on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. Nobody can resist Jesus. So they did not burn that person. They've not burned that person that can resist Jesus. Jesus is unresistible. If you find that anybody is trying to resist him, he has not been rightly presented. He said, if I be revealed on the cross, in that capacity I will draw all men to myself. So what am I trying to say for Christmas? God promised that the seed, Jesus, will come and take back the authority. Alright? That Adam, some loss because of what? Disobedience. Like I said, don't always say that Adam lost the glory. I want to end with this, right? Because no one knows me and what? Continues in his sin. It's not possible. The Bible says we have all sinned in Adam and have what? Fallen short. The word in Greek there means to be limited to touching something. We're not able to touch the glory because of disobedience. Are we together? So Adam did not touch the glory because after that there was a partitioning and two angels with a flaming sword guided the way to the tree of life. So he couldn't touch the glory. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus is the tree of life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So he couldn't have access to the glory. So what happened? He left. And you see, money should not be the emphasis, because Adam left Eden because Adam disobeyed God. And the most important thing in Eden was the tree of life. If he accessed the tree of life earlier before he disobeyed God by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he would have had access to all the resources in Eden. The only thing God guided in the Garden of Eden was the tree of life, access to that tree. And he said, Adam, since you cannot touch, have access to this tree, you cannot have access to anything around here. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. So if you can access the tree, you can access everything. So if you seek first the kingdom of God, every other thing that the Gentiles what? Will be what? Given unto you. If you know Christ, you have access to everything. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Bible said the Old Testament happened for our learning, so we can learn from that. That because of Adam did not have access to the tree of life, he didn't have access to any other thing. Are we together? All the resources in Eden, he didn't have access to. We saw Adam now living like some poor fellow outside Eden. There was no way in Eden he would have had some of those situations he had. And God painted a picture of redemption to him. The Bible says he slew a lamb and covered Adam through the skin of that lamb, painting to Adam that if anybody be in what? Christ. Is the word new creation. And now have access back to the Garden of Eden. Because accessing Christ is accessing the tree of life. And so now all the resources in Eden can be yours. Are we together? Another scripture Jesus said in Mark 9, he said, some of you standing here talking about the 12 will not die until you see the kingdom, the Father's kingdom, the glory, and etc. And how did they see the kingdom? Because they are all dead. The transfiguration. They saw Jesus in his glory. And Elijah and Moses subjected to him. And God saying they should listen only to Jesus. Are you together? So Jesus is the prototype of the kingdom. He is the idea of the kingdom. He is a portrait of the kingdom. What am I trying to say? If we are like Christ, it is only when we are like Christ that we can make of the kingdom of God. Because Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, we were washed by the blood of Jesus. Are you seeing that? We're washed by the blood of Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection to the end that, verse 6, we make up his kingdom. So, the qualification that makes us capacitated as a standard that should make up the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus. When we understand our place in Christ Jesus, we become capacitated fellows that can make up his kingdom more like lively stones. Can you remember that part of scripture? Lively stones that together form as block to make up God's building, God's kingdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So I'm trying to just give you a picture that Christ Jesus is the miniature microcosm of the kingdom, the idea of the kingdom. And that now that we've understood Christ, or we know Christ, we have the kingdom, and so every other word, good thing, like it was in Eden, it is what given unto us. Say, I have all things. So in Christmas, you should understand this, that Jesus started the journey of making sure that the kingdom comes back to you. Are we together? God started the journey, to making sure the kingdom come back to you by giving Jesus to us. That has seed, he, capital letter, will what? Bruise the devil to take back Satan's authority, all the authority Satan thinks he has, collect it back. Now life and death is in the power of your tongue. Isn't it? Oh death, where is thy sting? Satan has got no authority. Say that with me, want to go. Satan has got no authority. Satan has no authority. That's the beauty of Christmas. Hallelujah to Jesus. So after tonight, understand, celebrate it with so much joy. It was salvation, the praise of salvation started. It kick-started in Christmas, the process of salvation. It kick-started in Christmas. Without a man interfering, God came. Subjected in the womb of a woman for how many months? 9 months. 9 months, so that you understand that he came fully as human. The Bible says we don't have a savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. In this Christmas, be stirred with the fact that God Almighty understands all you are going through. Are you listening to me? See, nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. There was no crib for him. Yet, he lived. He was given birth where? In a manger. He was trying to... That doesn't paint a picture that God is poor, right? Because they were looking for where to put him. And all the hotels were booked. Let's put it like that. And now it was a manger. Yet, he still said, no problem. I can still bear it here. Are you all listening to me? I can still bear it here. You know, some people think God doesn't have a house. Because God was in another city, if you look at that part of scripture. And when he was in another city, he said, the Son of Man, the birds have where to put their hair, blah, blah, blah. But the Son of Man does not have where to live. But if you check other part of scriptures, he said, he was in a house. And he was going to his house in another city again. Jesus had houses, so. No, all right, I will show you on Sunday. You want to see it, right? I'll show you on Sunday because I read it before. Say Jesus was just wandering and he would just sit in one bush and he would just sleep. It's a lie. Does not make any sense. Jesus does not need to prove anything like that to anybody. He had houses. But in that city, he did not have a house. When we talk like this, it paints a picture of poverty. Some Christians like poverty. Take the world and give me Jesus. Yet you are going to school. You are working hard to make money in the world. Money is very important.
But you see, when we make money the emphasis, it becomes a problem. But can we deny the fact that money is important? It is. Don't we all need money? Most of you now, 90% of your problem, why your face are not really shiny, is because of money. If you hit 5 million, if they just sent 5 million to your account now, Pope, you'll be smiling like your Christmas chicken or Christmas goat that you killed this morning. You just, how are you? You just need 5 million. It will do something to your immune system to just spark. You know what I'm talking about, Odogwu Kingdom. Just send 5 million now to you. Have you been in service when business did not work well before? Huh? How was the word of God? It was just flowing like this. Flowing left. Left. Not flowing right. But flowing left. As they are saying it, you are just doing like this. The prophet said, I declare, do not lift their hands up. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Adam did not lose the glory. I hope that is clear. Can you live above sin? Yes. Can you live above sin?
Yes.
Years ago, a young man who followed me very well, finished ABU with first class. He said he wanted to follow me for the gospel's sake. Then one time he came to church and I was teaching we can live above sin. He got offended. He said, sir, nobody can live above sin. And I said, you, I love whatever you are teaching. You taught us grace in Kaduna, blah, blah, blah. He now said, you now, you want to tell me in 1 week you've not seen? I said, yes. He said, atrocity. He said, sir, I want to tell you, I'm leaving you, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I started laughing. I said, you can go. He said, sir, I should go? I said, yeah. I said, if it is this gospel, you'll come back and find me preaching it. Some of you remember the day he came back. He wanted to give a testimony, so I can say it, because he wanted to give the testimony himself. He sat here. I led him to Christ. But when he went a few places and learned that, he felt like that was what I was saying was not true. He came back. He said, sir, I've had this experience and this and where I used to worship this. And I just went to Facebook and I saw that you are still saying the same thing. I've come to tell you that, sir, please don't stop saying this thing you are saying. Truly a believer can live above sin. If a believer cannot live above sin, why do we choose the sin we can bear? Okay, take for instance, you don't agree a believer can live above sin. And you are a pastor. And the unbeliever, the believer that cannot live above sin, slept with your daughter and made her pregnant out of wedlock. You are not supposed to do anything because a believer sins is a saint that sins sometimes. So the sometimes now has happened for your daughter's head. But that pastor will lock you up. He will beat the hell out of your generation. And almost break your leg. For you sinning sometimes. You say, sir, I'm a believer that sins sometimes. He will say, God will punish you. You may be so shocked. A pastor will tell you, God will punish you. You want to sin sometime on my daughter's life. It's painful. The fruit brings pain. The fruit of sin. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? The effect of sin is what? Death. Destruction. God does not want any bit of destruction around and in your life. If you have a mindset that, no, we cannot live above sin, you will never live above sin. You will never in your life. It is from human weakness we drew that revelation, not from the Spirit of God. The revelation of God is from up down, not from within outside. It's from up down. It's far above all you have ever thought or imagined. When it comes, it just, there's some kind of reaction in your whole system. You are wondering, what the heck is this? But it's true. When he said she's not dead, she's asleep, everybody started laughing. When Caleb and Joshua said, let's go and take the land by at once, everybody took up stones to stone them. How can you tell us to go and take a land that has giants and we're like grasshoppers? God said, go, that's your land. When we want to respond to God's word, we look stupid to human beings. Imagine God promises you a Lamborghini by February. Where is the connection of Lamborghini? Where? Which connection do you have in your life? But you know God can give you a Lamborghini 3 hours from now. Somebody is saying, Jagger. He will create a situation. You will just be in the situation like magic. Person will say, I feel I should give you a car. I feel I should do this for you. I feel. Well, how do you bring yourself into this reality? Speak God's word. Jesus was, everything about Jesus and the prophets of old and the prophets in the New Testament was never a coincidence. They were never a coincidence. They spoke it before they saw it. When Jesus was about to die, he was speaking about his death, burial, and resurrection. I will lay up my life, and in 3 days, I will take it up again. You have to say it. It's important. You have to say it. And when he died the third day, what? He came back alive. His bones were not supposed to be broken. The prophet prophesied it. Jesus said it. On the cross, the soldier now said, well, according to culture, we should break bones, but let's leave this man. He was not scared of the consequences if their master finds out that they did not break the bone of Jesus. Against culture, he said, leave Jesus' bones. Leave it. Just leave that man. Don't break his bone. He felt like he just pitied Jesus. He didn't know that he was fulfilling prophecy. People fulfilling prophecy sometimes will think that they are just pitying you. Pastor John, I feel like you should handle this project and come and handle this and come and if I handle the entire project. It's like, Sir, I don't know. It didn't just happen like magic. Don't say that. That's prophecy getting fulfilled. It will look so casual. See how the soldier said it? Just leave his bones. That's how somebody will say, just leave the house for him. Give him the house. The way that brother sang in church, it blessed me. It was my first time there. I really want to see him. How does he sing? How does he sing? It got into me, and look at my whole body is healed. I can't feel the pain anymore. I've spent so much on drugs. Call the brother for me. Brother, who is you? Who are you? My name is... Okay, well, I'm going to give you this house in George's quarters. It's fully furnished. If not for your singing today, I would have not even lived to enjoy that house. I have so many. Please take it. Take it. These are the papers. They are begging you to take it. And it's like a dream. As if you just slept and you dreamt and you woke up. How many of you have been there and you feel so bad that why is it a dream? And sometimes you thank God if it's a dream. You'll be like, thank God it's a dream. But this one now is reality. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you are not, if you don't see life like this, you can't even confess God's word. They say, confess that it's your season. You say, how many times I don't confess? It work. But when you understand that God can just do it somehow. He said, do not take a thought by saying, how shall... When you are thinking, how will God do it? You will not be able to confess the word of God. And it's a proof that you have taken an idea from Satan that is making you challenge and question God. Do not take a thought from the devil that will lead you to say, how can this... If God says it can be done, don't ever ask the question, how can it be done? Now, Professor, it can be done. By the reason of Jesus' coming, the head of Satan is bruised. He has lost all authority over your finances. All authority over your family. All that concerns you in the name of Jesus. Now I declare the gold are yours. The silver are yours. And the cattle above 1,000 hills are yours. In the name of Jesus. You will enjoy the glory of God like never before. You see, your celebration in this Christmas will be the least yet. Next year, you'll be so rich you want to kill a cow. In the name above all names. You'll be so rich you want to kill a cow. In fact, you'll be so rich you will give people chickens. In the name of Jesus. Yes. The prophet of God said, there's chaos in the city. The city is burnt down almost to ashes. He said, but I just speak the word in my spirit that by this time tomorrow, everything will be stable and they'll be buying and selling. Now, one of the rulers said, even if God comes down, this thing you are saying cannot work. He said, okay, no problem. You will see it, but you will not partake of it. That's your punishment. You will see it. Remember Zachariah too. He didn't believe God. All right? He saw it, but he could not participate. But for your case, it will be different. Amen. The only people that will not participate are the unbelievers. But because you believe, by this time next year, we'll be singing out the testimony. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be singing out the testimony of Christmas. That from last year, Christmas 2025, a man of God taught this and he prophesied this. And here we are. I killed a cow this Christmas. I dashed chickens this Christmas. I finished building my house before Christmas. Hallelujah. I have a new car before this Christmas. In the name of Jesus. And I want you to understand something before we go. That God doesn't just want to give you a car. He doesn't want to just give you a cow. He doesn't want to give you chickens. That's not how his character is. He wants you to understand kingdom. Kingdom which is source to cars, source to chickens. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Source to, he gave you authority over every creeping thing. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, if you understand this thing I'm saying now, you go and start a business that will give you authority over plenty chickens. I don't know that you're catching what I'm trying to say now. You're going to start a cow business because he has given you authority over every creeping thing. You're going to start a goat business. If you understand what I'm trying to say now, you're going to have authority. You're going to exhibit that authority by starting a business. Why are you starting the business? It's an act of faith. You know you have authority over everything. So you are sowing this seed of a business to finally own everything. This is how the tune be. What God gave Adam was Eden. He said, make sure Eden finds expression everywhere on the earth. It was a seed he gave Adam for the whole earth. Eden was a seed for the whole earth. Ever heard that before? It's the truth. The whole earth was not like Eden. Now, right now, all of you under the sound of my voice, you have a seed. I'm not talking about monetary seed. No, that's what I'm talking about. There's a seed of idea in your mind. It's in your mind. Go and start that business. Are you listening to me? Have the impetus to go and start that thing. Go and start it. See, there is nobody here that does not have anything. Don't ever think like that, else you are a loser. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Never say I don't have what to do. In scriptures, Moses said, Lord, we are finished. Look at me before the Red Sea, blah, blah, blah. God said, what art thou holding? He said, a stick. He said, no, it's a mantle. You all have something right now. People didn't have what to eat. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. Jesus said, what do you have? They were almost ignoring what they had. He said, bring it up here. He gave God praise. He gave God praise. He recognized God's hand in the situation. There's a saying that says when you praise God for his finger, you will see his hand. You must make God understand that he's the source of everything in your life. You see that money in your bank account right now, it is enough. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. You see that idea in your heart right now, it is enough. Say, Pastor, I don't have all the money. You see that idea? You will not find the resources by thinking when to start. You'll be interfaced with the resources when you start. Moses did not say because of Moses knew there was a Red Sea. How many people know that Moses knew there was a Red Sea before he started the journey? While they were going, he did not say, God, what of Red Sea? When he got there, he said, God, we have gotten to the Red Sea. But he had to move and get to the Red Sea. He had to move. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You have to be on the go. When he got to the Red Sea, he said, God, okay, see a limitation here. If you don't make progress, you will not be interfaced with the mountains, and you will not give God the privilege to remove the mountains from your life. But you have to make progress. The last word God told us in scripture was to go. The last, the instruction Jesus gave us before he left the earth was to go into the world and what? Make disciples. Be on the go. Be on the go. Be on the go. And let me say something that is quite complicated, but it's true. Before we end. You see, Paul said in Acts 17, was it Acts 17 or so? He said, when I wanted to go to the Gentiles, he said, a part of the Gentiles, not all of them. He was going to different places. When he wanted to go to a particular place, the Holy Spirit restrained him. He said, do not go. Paul did not hear a voice that said, go. He was just on the go. As long as he saw a major word in scripture that said, go into the world and make disciples, he was just going to make disciples. But when he wanted to go to a particular place, the Holy Spirit told him, don't go. You know what I pick from that? We are just supposed to be going. Just be making progress. Start businesses. Just be doing them. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. If you want to do the wrong one, he will tell you to stop. Did you get what I just said? If you want to take a wrong step, he will tell you, just make progress. Just be pushing. Just be writing the songs. If he doesn't want you to release it, he will tell you stop. Just be doing it. Just be doing the covers. Just be learning the skills. Just be applying the jobs. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. They say this one, they pay like one I sent you yesterday, $100 per hour. You may sit and say, this one, is it possible that they will give me? Apply it. Apply it. You see it, you apply it. They say, it's going 100 million NMPC, and we don't have. I told you a story. The brother said, the sister sent him a link to apply for a job, NMPC. He said, who do I know? I beg, they already know the people that will give the job. She said, just apply. She too, she didn't know anybody. This guy applied casually. Casually. And he was called for the interview. Casually. And he got the job. Casually. He was so shocked he got the job. Right now he's a big guy. Working with NMPC. Listen, just apply. Do you know that God can make Tinubu favor you? He'll just look at you and say, I remember one of my suits that looked like your own. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Have some faith for yourself. Believe yourself. Before we step into 2026, are you listening to me? Have some self-worth. Believe you deserve it. You deserve the best. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father, and you are the child of your Father, God Almighty. All good and perfect gifts. So I deserve all good and perfect gifts. He said you've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? You've got all the blessings you will ever need in your life. You've got it. Now just start walking into the reality by taking actions of faith. Remember, I told you, faith is what? The switch of what? Action is what? The switch of faith, right? Alright. Yeah, I was the one that said it too, but action is the switch of faith. If you believe it, faith without work is what? Yeah. Will you do the businesses? Will you actualize that idea? Don't sit down. See what happened in 2025. Some of us, we thought. We ended up being taughters. Because you think there's enough time. But in 2026, it's attack. Tell somebody it's attack. And when the enemy is coming, give him counter-attack. You turn. You know what counter-attack is? You are just going on your own. The enemy is coming. You not be running. You turn and face him. Whatever wants to come for you in 2026, counter-attack. Be ready to face any situation. Are you ready for 2026? Make up your mind. I say it's my year. I was praying yesterday and I heard myself saying this was 2026 is my year. I didn't know when I started saying it to myself. I know sometimes when you mean something, you don't want to even tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife. I just started telling myself, I said 2026 is my year. 2026 is my year and it's your year. It's your year. I just feel like there's a lot of glory in 2026. A lot of glory. A lot of glory. A lot of glory. There will be the tearing to be like something is tearing. You know, have you ever seen earthquake before? Like something is tearing. And before you know, volcanoes. Poof. There's going to be so much glory. Satan will try to bring resistance, but there's so much glory. There's so much glory. Attack 2026. I tell you, people that I was praying yesterday, the Lord began to say something. I've not fully gotten the word, but it's around lips and faith. See, in 2026, it is people that stand strong with their God. In faith. It is people that will stand strong in faith that will shout glory at the end of 2026. 2026 is all about faith. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I'm telling you the truth. That's what God has told us. It is all about faith. For some of you that will not show your faith, I'm telling you, you go to sing our praise. I don't want to catch you. It's all about faith. Whatever you are believing God for in 2026, stand strong with it. Think of something bigger than yourself. Think of something unbelievable. God will do it for you. Can we begin to pray in tongues everywhere? Pray in tongues. Just pray. I can hear you. Are you in faith? Oh, go ahead. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. Where feet may fail, and there I found you in the mystery, an ocean's deep. My faith will stand. And I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, Yarabo Shana, my Yarabo. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Hey, where feet may fail and fear surround, you've never and you won't stand. I will call upon your name. Oh, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am your. And you, oh, Yarabo, Sharanabaya, Kabo, Yarabaya, yeah. Spirit, lead me where my is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will come. Hey, take me deeper than my faith will ever wonder, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Spirit. In me, Spirit in me, where my trust. Oh, let me walk upon the water wherever you. Oh, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of God. Oh, Spirit, let me. Hey, wherever you will take me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we give God all praise? Shout glory! Amen. Let's be on our seats.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.